This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruchim Abayim. Thank you for coming. I know everybody is very busy tonight playing chess and other important activities. We're continuing our shiurim, the shiurim of Tavshin Peivav, are dedicated by the Israeli family, Leilui Nishmas, Malka Bas Yosef, Began Eden Temruchasa, Shishvi Mlitza Yishar for her family. So the shiurim on Sefer Bereishis, actually, there's no shiur next week. I'll tell you about it. So the last shiur on Bereishis is dedicated by Dr. Zakai Mishpacht, Leilui Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakai, Leilui Nishmas Rivka Bas Tovia Levi, Rav David ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by Rav Yisrael Mendel Zuckerman, Leilui Nishmas, his grandfather-in-law, Rav Arye Leib ben Rav Nachum Yehuda Greenspan, who is the Talmud Muvak of the Chafetz Chaim. And Rabbi Zuckerman sent me a picture this week of the Zayda with the Chafetz Chaim, the Gan Eden, Timonu Chasai, should be a male seership for his whole family. Next Thursday night is the yard site of the Tzaddik Ranana. So I have this chus to be going to Eretz Yisrael to launch the new Sefer, which is available in limited quantities here in America. Next Thursday night, Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky has graciously opened up his yeshiva for the first annual ever Tzaddik Ranana event led by Rav Hagoyin, Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Heichal HaTorah. And we're going to launch the new Sefer there in the yeshiva. Rav Tzvi was very makbid to learn from the Sefer every single day and to teach it barabim, which means he taught it in front of three people every single day until he experienced one of the greatest miracles in the modern era. He had a beautiful baby at almost 90 years old. So you could join us next Thursday night in Yeshiva Heichal HaTorah, followed by a yard site suda led by Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky, and then Friday at the kever of the Tzaddik of Ranana. Shemois is coming up. Make sure you get your Shemois Magid Rakia. And if anybody wants to bring Berachas HaTzaddik in English, so please let us know, because that's going to be next. Okay, we have an amazing topic tonight. Tonight's are not only our last shiur on Sefer Bereishis, but will also be our last shiur before Asar B'Teves. So you're going to see Mamish Neflois tonight. Mamish Neflois Mitarasenu. Really amazing material. Okay, so Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to the brothers. And you know, we don't really know when he did that. When did Yosef say, Ani Yosef? Like, what day of the year was it? What day of the week was it? Maharu v'alu elavi. Quick, go up to my father. V'amar tamelav, say to him, Koyamar bincha Yosef. So says your son Yosef. Samani Elohim la'adoin l'chom Mitzrayim. Hashem made me a master for all of Egypt. Rada Eli, come down to me, Al Ta'amoid. Says Rashi, Eretz Yisrael gavaya mikol haratzes. What do you mean, go up to my father? Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all lands. Okay, now, I don't take anything at face value, so I did some research. Is in fact Eretz Yisrael the tallest of all lands? We're going to come to that in a moment. But Rashi says the words va'alu el avi means that go up to Yaakov. What do you mean go up? Where Yaakov Avinu is on an apartment, the seventh floor in an apartment building? What do you mean go up? No, Eretz Yisrael is the tallest of all the lands. So the Levush, one of the commentaries on Rashi, says, why did Rashi make this comment here? This is not the first time it says, go up to your father. Rashi should have said it earlier. You know, how does Parshas Miketz, V'yatem alu l'shalom el avichem? So Rashi said, what do you mean, go up in peace to your father? Rashi should have said, go up, because Eretz Yisrael is the tallest of all the lands. Or it says earlier, V'hanar yal imachiv, and the lad should go up with his brothers. Why didn't Rashi say, what do you mean, go up? Because Eretz Yisrael is the tallest of all the lands. Says Rash, says the Levush, no. Earlier on, you could have interpreted go up means extricate yourself from the problem. V'atem alu l'shalim al avichem. You know, you're in hot water here. You're in trouble over here. you get out of the mess and go up to your father. Go up means pull yourself out of the mess. Or v'hanar ya'al emachiv, the child will go up with his brothers. Doesn't mean literally to a higher altitude. It means to go out of problems. But here Yosef already revealed himself. They don't have any problems. He's no longer this tyrant. He's no longer this dictator that he thought he was, that they thought he was. So here, va'alu doesn't mean go up from your problems. So therefore Rashi says what it means is, from here we learn, Eretz Yisrael is the tallest of all the lands. Okay. By the way, other mefarshim, there's a sefer Ataras Zahav. The Ataras Zahav says that why didn't Rashi make this comment earlier? Why didn't Rashi say earlier on the words Va'atem alu al avichem l'shalom? Rashi should have said, from here we see Eretz Yisrael is the tallest of all the lands. So the Ataras Zahav says as follows. He says, the aliyah we're talking about, when it said earlier, go up to your father, go up to your father means honor your father, kibud avim, go up to your father. However, here we're talking about something else, because a father who's meichel on his kavod is nimchal. A king that's meichel on his kavod, the kavod is not machal. So maybe regarding Yosef, since Yosef was a melech, and you're supposed to honor a melech, even Yaakov Avinu said to honor Yosef, Yosef said, go up to your father, meaning, even I'm telling you, even though I'm a king, I'm meichel on my kavod, and I'm telling you to go up to your father. Okay. Rado Eli, and then come back down to me, right? Okay. Here's the million-dollar question. Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land? Really? Is that true? You know, we have a similar expression. It says by Zakein Mamre, it says, if you have a question, V'kamta v'alisa el hamakayim, you're going to get up and go to the spot. And what do Chazal say? Melamed shebeis hamikdash gavaya mikol Eretz Yisrael. That the Beis Hamikdash was the highest point in Eretz Yisrael. It is? No, it's not. So that means, what Chazal are saying is, Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land. Really? New York City is taller. And the Beis Hamikdash is the tallest spot in Eretz Yisrael? By far it's not. Hermon is double the height. So I did a little study tonight, okay? Let's talk about mountains, okay? You know, Chazal say Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land, and Har HaMoriah is the tallest spot in Eretz Yisrael, which means, according to Chazal, the tallest spot in the world is Har HaMoriah, okay? So let's get the height of Har HaMoriah. Anybody know the Temple Mount? How high altitude is the Temple Mount? It's 2,428 feet. Is that high? Not at all. So let's talk about Mount Everest. Do you ever hear about Mount Everest? That's the tallest mountain. It's 29,032 feet. It's about, you know, 13 times the height of Har HaMoriah. What's the second tallest mountain? Fuji. What? Fuji. Who? Fuji. K2 it's called. K2, 28,251. The third tallest mountain is Kangchenjunga. 28,169. Then Lhotse, 27,000. They're all in the Himalayas, okay? And the top 10 mountains are all 26,500 feet and up. And Har HaMoriah is 2,428. The Hermon is 9,000. Friends, the Catskills are taller than Har HaMoriah. The tallest mountain in the Catskills is Slide Mountain. Actually, every single mountain in the world is taller than Har HaMoriah. It's the smallest of any significant mountain. It's smaller than any significant mountain in the world. There are thousands of mountains taller than Har HaMoriah. It's not in the top 10. It's not in the top 100. It's the small whatever classifies as a mountain, it's the smallest one. Maybe the only small mountain is Har Sinai. You don't get smaller than the Har Abayis. So what do Chazal mean that Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land? Now, you'll say, well, maybe the land. Maybe the tallest land. Is it the tallest land? It's the lowest land. It's from the lowest lands in the world. Asia is the tallest continent, followed by parts of the United States, on average, is after Asia, followed by Canada. Israel is about a quarter of the altitude of Asia and even the United States. So what are Chazal saying? That Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land and the Har HaBayis is the tallest part of Eretz Yisrael? Is that even true? So there's a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer, okay? There's an amazing tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says like this. Is the world round or is the world flat? What do you say? Now all of a sudden you're not sure. You had an opinion about everything. What about the world? The world is a kador, yeah? What's the tallest part of a kador? There is no tallest part. It depends how you spin it. Depends where you're holding it. Meaning, if you could identify a point that's the focal point of the circle and everything originated there and spreads out from there, then you could say that's the tallest point. Now, theoretically, it could be any point on the ball. But because there's no point that you could say this is the focal point, that's the focal point. However, says the Chassam Sofer, since we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Eretz Yisrael first, created the Beis HaMikdash first, and his eyes are always on it, then we could say, let's turn the ball in this direction, and everything else is below. So even though, yes, Mount Everest is much taller, no, it's not, because Mount Everest is on the side or the bottom of the ball. But the focal point, the kol piyos, a love poinim, all eyes are toward it. It's the center point. It's the focal point. Therefore, it's considered the highest spot in the world. It's not a matter. You could be standing in the east, but that's still the focal point. So everything else is below it. So the Chassam Sofer says the idea that Eretz Yisrael is gavaya mikol haaretzos is that it's the center point of the universe. It's the focal point of the universe. And the idea that the Mikdash is gavaya mikol Eretz Yisrael, it's the focal point of the universe. So I would suggest that what Yosef is telling the brothers is he's saying, go and quickly go up. Now it's interesting. The Levush learns it kipshutai, that Eretz Yisrael is literally the tallest country in the world. And what Yosef is saying is, usually when you go to a high altitude, you got to slow down. It's hard to accelerate. It's hard to go fast. So Yosef says, Maharu va'alu, since you're going up, I need you to go quickly because naturally you'd be slowed down by the highest altitude. But the way the Chassam Sofer understands it is that what Yosef is saying is, go to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm making a point of highlighting the fact that it's the center of the universe. Why is Yosef focusing on that? So at this point in the share, I think what Yosef is saying is that don't go tell Yaakov, I want him to come down to Mitzrayim because I think this is the most important country in the world, where this is the center of the universe, this is the economic superpower. No. Go up to your father. I'm telling you, I'm Yosef. I'm still Yosef. I speak Lashon HaKodesh. I have a bris milah. Tell Yaakov, I still believe that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the universe. It's just that I'm asking you, you need to come back to me. Because there's going to be famine and I'm going to be supporting you. But Yosef is highlighting, he's telling the brothers to tell Yaakov, don't tell Yaakov that I think Egypt is the center of the universe. I'm letting you know, I still believe Eretz Yisrael is the center of the universe. We still don't know what day Yosef made the statement. This is, by the way, on the same time that Yosef revealed and he said, Ani Yosef ha'oid avichai. And I'm going to share something with you today. I've been looking for it for 6 years. Someone sent it to me 6 years ago. About 3 years ago, I said, I know you sent me something. I don't have it anymore. I looked it up. It's not in the original source. And finally, today, in your zechus, it was discovered, okay? This is something out of this world. Now, another thing. In Parshas Miketz, Yaakov Avinu, when he hears that Yosef is demanding that they go back to him with Binyamin, Yaakov Avinu says, Vayomer aleihem Yisrael aviyam, im kein eifoi zoisasu kechu mizimras haaretz, take the praise of the land. Bechleichem. What should you bring? Ma'at sri, ma'at devash, a little balsam, a little honey, nichais, falait, batim, shkedim, take pistachio nuts. But there's an extra word in this pasuk. Yaakovinu says, take from the praise of the land. Take from the praise of the land. What is that supposed to mean? The praise of the land, the song of the land. Why the emphasis on the praise of the land? And now we come to the biggest question of all. You ready? This is a bomb. When Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, he's giving brachas to the Shvatim. He's giving brachas to his children. And he says to Shimon and Levi, "Besoidam al tavay nafshi, bekalam al teichad kivoidi." What is this talking about? Rashi says, Shimon and Levi, you're great guys. But, you know, Shimon, one day you're going to sin with Zimri and Cusby. I don't mention my name there. You could say Zimri, Ben, Lamate, Shimon, and don't say Yaakov Avinu. I don't want my name associated with what Zimri does. And Bekalam Altechad Kvaydi Levi, you're a great guy, but you're going to be involved in the episode of Korach. I'll let it say Abayikach Korach, Ben Kahas, Ben Levi, but not Ben Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu says, I don't want to be associated with the Maisa Zimri, and I don't want to be associated with the Maisa Korach. But did you know the Gemara doesn't say that? The Gemara doesn't say that. You're familiar with that from Rashi. The Gemara says that what Yaakov Avinu says is, Shimon and Levi, I don't want to be associated with the Meraglim. Shimon, you're involved in the Meraglim. I don't want my name involved in the Meraglim. Levi, you're involved in Korach. I don't want my name involved in Korach. And the Marsha asks, Shimon was involved in the Meraglim? All the Shvatim were involved in the Meraglim. Why is Yaakov Avinu specifically saying to Shimon, Shimon, you're going to be up to no good one day. You're going to be involved in the Meraglim. When the story of the Meraglim is recorded, I don't want my name mentioned. What, Shimon's the only one who is involved in the story of the Meraglim? So the Marsha says, I guess you have to say, that they had a tradition that the main individual involved in the Meraglim was Shimon. What? It lists 12 Meraglim. Doesn't say Shimon first. In the Sefer Divrei Yoel, the Satmar Rav asks, the Shimon is the main spy? There is no source anywhere that Shimon is the main spy. How could the Marshal just say, maybe there is a Kabbalah that the main Meraglim, the main spy, was from Shimon? He instigated it. What? What's the source of that? Do you see everybody? I mean, you read Parshas Shlach? You see anything about the Meraglim from Shimon? What was his name, the Meraglim from Shimon? No? Limate Shimon. What was his name? Shafat ben Chayr. Who is the Meraglim from Shimon? You don't want to learn because of Nittel? That's why? You don't learn Nittel?
I really
don't know. Lamate Shimon, who is the Meraglim in the beginning of Parsha Shlach? Okay.
I didn't know the Meraglim come from the Shvatim.
Where do they come from? So that's the question. Yaakov Avinu says to Shimon, I don't want my name mentioned in the episode of the Meraglim. Where? By Shimon. What, Shimon, all of a sudden, he's the main... he's the main Meraglim? Where did that come from? What's the source that Shimon... What's the source that Shimon is involved in the Meraglim more than anybody else? Oh, I got it right. Shafat ben Chayri. Lamate Shimon, Shafat ben... He's the main one. He's not listed first. You have Shamua ben Zakur. You have Kalev ben Yefuna. What's the basis of this? Now we know, very interestingly, in Parshas Miketz, when the brothers come to Yosef, the pasuk says, Yosef remembered his dreams that he dreamt. And he says, Meraglim atem! You're spies! Liroy Seserva Saharaz Basam, you came to see the low point of the land. And they said, no, we came to buy food. Kulanu ish b'nei yishach nachlanach. Lo yoyu abadach meraglim. We're not meraglim. Isn't that interesting? That Yosef accuses them of being meraglim? You know, that's a very specific word. Why, when Yosef sees the brothers for the very first time, he says, you know who you are? You're the meraglim. You know, that's a startling accusation. If you know anything about Chumash, you know that the word meraglim only appears in Parashat Shlach. So what does Yosef mean that you're meraglim? So if you remember, a number of months ago, we discussed this. And we brought from the Satmar Rav, and we brought from the Chidah, that based on the Arizal, that after the Chet of Mechiras Yosef, so the brothers regretted having sold Yosef, and they did Shuva. They said, Avol Hashem manachnu al achinu, al kein bo ilenu hatzara hazois. However, Hashem hid from them that even though they regretted selling Yosef, the fact that they sold Yosef to Mitzrayim ultimately caused the galus and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It ultimately caused the Chet HaMeraglim. What Yosef told the brothers were, you think you sold me and then you're just going to do tshuva and we're going to forget about it and we're going to call it a day? What I want you to know, you're not going to realize what I'm telling you, but I'm telling you a pointed comment. You need to realize because of the sin of Mechiras Yosef that ultimately caused the Chet HaMeraglim. Now, the Satmar Rav doesn't explain. How did the sin of Mechiras Yosef cause the Chet HaMeraglim? But he says this would answer the question of the Marsha. The Marsha asked, what's Yaakov Avinu saying to Shimon? I don't want to be involved. When you sin with the Meraglim, I don't want to be involved. Why is Yaakov blaming Shimon for the Chet HaMeraglim? They're all responsible. No, they're not all responsible. Because based on this tradition of the Ari, the sin of Mechiras Yosef caused the sin of the Meraglim. So who's responsible for the Chet HaMeraglim? Shimon. Shimon's responsible for the Chet HaMeraglim. He's the one who caused it. He's the main perpetrator. So when Yaakov Avinu sees Shimon on his deathbed, he says, I don't want my name associated with you when the Chet HaMeraglim is recorded. So Shimon should have said, why are you blaming me for the Chet HaMeraglim? And the answer is, it was his fault. Because at the root of the Chet of the Meraglim was Mechiras Yosef. You know who else says this? The Chidah says this explicitly in the Sefer Roish David. He brings from the Gurei Ha'ari that from the students of the Arizal, Shemachmas Avoin Mechiras Yosef, they were not worthy to enter Eretz Yisrael, and they could have rectified it if by entering Eretz Yisrael they would have praised the land, that would have rectified the sin of Mechiras Yosef. But because they badmouthed the land, they couldn't correct Mechiras Yosef. That's why the Mekubalim teach that the souls of the Shvatim accompanied the Meraglim, right? Why? Lemate Ruvain Shamua ben Zakur. Lemate Shimon Shafat ben Chori. Why are we mentioning the names of the Shvatim? The Shvatim accompanied the Meraglim and to Eretz Yisrael. They were saying, please do us a favor, praise the land. If you praise the land, you'll rectify the sin of Mechiras Yosef. But because they badmouthed the land, now the sin of Mechiras Yosef is forever uncorrected. By the way, in the Drasha, Beis Yishai, he says that's why Yaakov Avinu tells the brothers, Kechu mizimras ha'aretz, take the praise of Eretz Yisrael. Because the only way to rectify the sin of Mechiras Yosef, you might have a chance later to praise the land. Why wait till later? Let's get it done right now. If you appreciate and value Eretz Yisrael right now, then this will be a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim. Do you remember this year? This was this past year's shir on Parsha Shlach. The idea being that the sin of the Meraglim is rooted in Mechiras Yosef. Now the question is, how? there's no comparison between the Chet HaMeraglim and Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef is Sinas Chinam. The Chet HaMeraglim is not appreciating Eretz Yisrael, is Lashon Hara against the land. Mechiras Yosef was bad-mouthing Yosef, Sinas Chinam. What do the two have to do with each other? Do you remember this? In other words, we're now discovering that when Yosef tells the brothers, Meraglim Atem, what he was really getting at is, the source of the sin of the Meraglim is in what you did to me. You are the root of the Chet HaMeraglim. That's why Yaakovinu says, Kechu Mizimras Haaretz. So I'm going to remind you of something we learned in Parsha Shlach. Maybe there's an idea that, you know, that's by Zimri. But now I'm talking about Mechiras Yosef is the root of the Meraglim. What is the connection between Mechiras Yosef and the Meraglim? So we had another $1 billion question. This was the main chiddush of the year. You know, we say that why is the Parshas HaMeraglim next to the Lashon Hara of Miriam? Because the Meraglim should have learned from Miriam, don't speak Lashon Hara. So you remember the question we had? In what way did the Meraglim speak Lashon Hara? How did they speak Lashon Hara? They spoke about the land. So if I talk Lashon Hara about a chair, it's Lashon Hara? No. Let's say I say, that menorah, it's such a bad menorah. That's Lashon Hara? No. There's only Lashon Hara to speak Lashon Hara about people. So what? In what way is what the Meraglim did, Lashon Hara? What's the Lashon Hara? It's a Lashon Hara? You can't talk Lashon Hara about a Sefer if it reflects on the author. There's no Issur Lashon Hara on things. What's the connection? Because the Meraglim, what's the connection between the Meraglim and Miriam? They should have learned from Miriam not to talk Lashon Hara. There is no Isser of Lashon Hara on inanimate objects. So we advanced a very important principle. Do you remember? And that is that Eretz Yisrael is different than any other land. Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people are part of the same fabric. Because Eretz Yisrael is the destiny of the Jewish people, and it's our homeland, and we're connected to it, so if you badmouth the land of Israel, which is the land that is the homeland of Klal Yisrael, you're speaking Lashon Hara on the entire Jewish people, on all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael and the land are synonymous. We and Eretz Yisrael, we're connected at the hip. If you badmouth the land, you know, it's not good to speak Lashon Hara about any Jew. It's even worse to speak Lashon Hara about a group of Jews. It's even worse to speak Lashon Hara about all of Klal Yisrael. And if you speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, you're badmouthing Am Yisrael, you're badmouthing the Jewish people. And we brought many proofs to this. The main proof is, now we understand the Kal v'Chomer. They should have learned, if Miriam was punished for speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, Alachas Kama V'Kama, you have to be careful not to speak Lashon Hara about the entire Klal Yisrael. And what did they do? They spoke about, if the Ribbono Shel Olam decided that this is the land that belongs to the Jewish people, then this is part of our identity. The identity of the nation called Klal Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. So you ready for this? That means, at the root of speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael is speaking Lashon Hara about your brother, Sinas Chinam. Because if you undermine the importance and the value of your brother, of one Jew, then that will lead you to undermine the value of something on par with the entire nation of Klal Yisrael, namely Eretz Yisrael. The chait of Mechiras Yosef was the crack in the foundation that ultimately brought to the Chet HaMeraglim. We brought many proofs to this idea. There's a pasuk in Shmuel. It says, V'chol ha'aretz, look at number 15, Ba'u Vayar, came into the forest. The whole land came into the forest. Could you tell me what does it mean, the land came into the forest? Because the next pasuk says, Vayavai ha'om el ha'yar. The people came into the forest. So why does it say the land came into the land? Is that's a way of saying the people. The people and the land are synonymous. And then, of course, you know, Rashi says this explicitly. Harninu goyim amai. Look at number 16, and then we're going to drop two bombshells of the year. You ready? On Nittel. You think you're supposed to learn less on Nittel? No, we're going to learn more on Nittel. Okay? Harninu goyim amai. Sing, nations, his people. Kidam avod of Yikaim. Because the blood of his servant, he will avenge. V'nakam yashiv letzarav. He will bring vengeance to those who oppress him. V'chiper ad masoy amoy. And he will atone for his land, his people. Says Rashi, what is the land of Hashem? Amoy. Mahu ad masoy amoy. The land of Hashem is his people. Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are a synonymous entity. If you badmouth the land, you're badmouthing the whole nation. So I would say, you ready for this? You're going to have to put on two seatbelts. Yosef accuses his brother, Meraglim Atem! You sold me! You think it's a small thing? That's the beginning, it's the root of the Chet HaMeraglim! You're the Meraglim! Meraglim Atem! So Yosef says, listen, I'm going to tell you how to correct it. What was the sin of the Meraglim? That they had disdain for Eretz Yisrael. They cried that this was their land. If you cry about something, that means you're fundamentally disconnected from it. So the Chet HaMeraglim is, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Vayima'asu be'eretz chemda. So you know what Yosef tells the brothers? Because let me ask you a question. Yosef just revealed himself to his brothers. Is now the time for a lesson in topography? Yosef says, by the way, let me teach you something, dear brothers. I want, Va'alu elavi, go up to father, go up to dad. And the brothers say, really, go up? Yeah, Yosef says, because Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land. Now the brothers start doing research, you know, Asia, Canada, United States, and they say, really? So now I understand, they haven't seen the brother in 22 years. He's giving them geography lessons. Why at this interval is Yosef giving them a lesson in topography? Go up to father, because Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land. You know why? Because Yosef told them previously, Meraglim Atem, you are responsible for the sin of the spies. So now when Yosef reveals himself, he says, listen, I'm your brother. I want to tell you how to fix it. The way you fix the sin of the Meraglim is you need to understand Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land. So the brothers say, no, it's not. Canada's taller. The Catskills are taller. The Rockies are taller. The Malays are taller. He said, no, you're not getting what I mean. I mean, it's taller because it's the focal point of the universe. You see, I was able to detect in your sin as chinam to me, that this is going to lead to the sin of the spies, which is the sin of vayimasu be'eretz chemda. So I'm going to teach you now how to correct it. You know how you're going to correct it? You're going to develop the attitude, like the Chassam Sofer explains, that Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land in the world, meaning it's the focal point of the universe, where we're identifying that on the globe, you're right, you could turn it anywhere, you could flip it anywhere. But once we identify the focal point of the universe, you'll recognize that this is not a Eretz Oicheles Yoshveha. This is the most important, greatest land in the world. It's the center of the universe. Yosef was not teaching topography. He was giving them a lesson to rectify the sin of the Meraglim. Now, you ready for this? What day of the year was it? So let's start with when Yosef was sold. Anybody know? What day of the year was Yosef sold? The answer is it's not found in Shas. It's not found in any Medrash. It's not found in any of the Rishonim. It's not found in any of the Achronim. We don't know. However, in the Sefer Drashos Beis Yishai, he says, you know, if you look at Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, 5 tragedies happened on Shavuot Sabbatamas. What, you think they just randomly happened on Shavuot Sabbatamas? It must be something happened in biblical times that corrupted the day, that now the day becomes a lightning rod for Jewish tragedy. What happened on Shavuot Sabbatamas? Chedo Egel. Chedo Egel. Now, you know, all bad stuff starts being attracted to Shavuot Sabbatamas. And then we have Tisha B'Av. You know, the first place, the second place, Hamikdash, Beitar, Apasia. Okay, what happened on Tisha B'Av that it became a lightning rod? Ched HaMeraglim. But a lot of bad things happened on Asar B'Teves. They set siege to the city, and Ezra passed away, and Nehemiah, and other tragedies in the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. So what happened in biblical times that caused that Asar B'Teves should be a lightning rod of tragedy? Says the Beis Yishai, Lulei Demistafina, I would say it happened on Yosef was so, Mechiras Yosef happened on Asar B'Teves. You hear that? So on Shavuot Sabbatamas, the Luchos were broken. Ched HaEgel. On Tisha B'Av, the Ched HaMeraglim. And Asar B'Teves was the day of Mechiras Yosef. You say, what's the remez to it? The mazel of Teves is Gedi. And that the Gedi symbolizes Mechiras Yosef because they shechted the Gedi and they dipped his tunic in blood. Now, I've been looking for this for 6 years. My friend Rafal Ansel in France sent it to me in January 2020. And then I think I got a new phone. And, you know, the pictures didn't transfer. And I sent him a message in 2023. Where is the piece? He sent me a piece from a sefer written 300 years ago called Pnei Aryeh Zuta. And I thought it said that Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef ha'oid avi chai anasar b'teves. Which, by the way, is a gold mine for me. First of all, you know what I call that? Davar yafa b'itoy. Every single year we read Vayigash the week of Asar B'Teves. Could you imagine? That means Vayigash happened on Asar B'Teves. You know what kind of gold mine that is? So today I looked up in the Pnei Aryeh Zuta. It wasn't there. He said something else. And I used the other thing he said. In Pnei Aryeh Zuta, he says, last week Miketz, when Yosef invited the brothers, Utavayach Tevach V'Hachin, where the Rishonim say the words Tavayach Tevach V'Hachin, spell out Chanukah, he makes a cheshbon, that Suda was on Chanukah. Those words, Tavayach Tevach V'Hachin, which spell out Chanukah, it was on Chanukah. He doesn't say anything about Asar B'Teves. I looked through the Sefer. I did a computer search on the Sefer. I went through the pieces on these parashiyos. He didn't say it. So I messaged my friend, I'm pretty sure you sent it to me 6 years ago. And 3 years ago when I asked him, it didn't turn up. Sure enough, in your honor, he sent me from a Sefer Asbaklaria on Parshas Vayigash, who quotes the Pnei Aryeh Zuta. I don't know where he got it from, but that Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef! On Asar B'Teves. Can you imagine? Now, what's the cheshbon? I even wrote this down. I had it in my notes, but I could not find where it's from. The cheshbon is, when does Yaakov Avinu come down to Paroi? What day of the year? In this week's parsha, when Yaakov comes down to Paroi, what day of the year was it? Come on, you need to figure this out. I don't care if it's Nittal. What? Listen, how long were Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim? 210 years. They left on when? Pesach. So they probably came down when? Pesach. Obviously, Yaakov Inu comes in front of Paroi on Pesach. It's Tesvav Nisan. Let's make a cheshbon. How long does it take? In other words, Yosef tells the brothers, go get dad, and then bring him back. So we could figure out what day Yosef said, Ani Yosef, by how long it takes We'll work backwards. Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim on Tesvav Nisan. So that means, however long it takes to go from Egypt to Hebron, and from Hebron to Egypt, we'll figure out when Yosef said, Ha'oid Avichai. Sure enough, from Mitzrayim until Eretz Yisrael, it's 400 parsa. A person could walk in a day 10 parsa a day. 400 divided by 10 is 40. So it takes about 40 days each way. So that's 80 days. So let's calculate 80 days before Tesvav Nisan. But you can't travel on Shabbos. Asara Bateves. The Pnei Ari Yezuta says, Yosef said, Ani Yosef, Ha'oir Avichai. When? He said it Tuesday, this Tuesday. That's when the fast is? This Tuesday. He said it this Tuesday. Can you imagine? Parshas Vayigash took place on Asar Bateves. And you're just sitting here like, how do you, your head should jump through the moon. That means Parshas Vayigash that we read every year, the week of Asar Bateves, takes place on Asar Bateves. Which is beautiful, because if Yosef was sold on Asar Bateves, and he was sold for 22 years, then it has to be he revealed himself on Asar Bateves. I mean, right? It has to be. It's not, it comes out like these two random drushas, like these two random tidbits, that Yosef was sold on Asar Bateves, and Yosef revealed himself on Asar Bateves. Like one of them proves the other, because I think whatever day one happened, the other one probably happened. So I would argue that on Asar Bateves, when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, he says, remember the last Asar Bateves? It's me. I'm the guy you try to kill and throw in the pit on Asar Bateves. Now the tables have turned on Asar Bateves. You know, it's like the ultimate Tzayim Haravi. It's the Tzayim HaAsiri. It's the ultimate V'nahapoichu. The first Asar Bateves, Yosef's on the bottom of the pit. The second, and they're standing there on top of the pit, saying, yeah, enjoy the snakes and the scorpions, you know, see you later. And then 22 years later, the tables are turned. Yosef's there, he's the viceroy of Egypt. He says, you know, nice to see you again. It's been real, you know. How did that turn out for you? You said, Hamaloich Timloich Aleinu, you think you'll ever rule over me? So Yosef said, you got it right, thank you. You predicted it. You said, Hamaloich Timloich Aleinu? Yeah, that's what happened. It all happened on Asar Bateves. Now, everybody knows the famous Avudraham, that if Asar Bateves would come out on Shabbos, you would fast even on Shabbos. That's, you know, the famous raid on Asar Bateves. It often falls out, yeah. But the stringency on Asar Bateves is it's the beginning of the cycle. It's the beginning of Chorban. Asar Bateves is when they surrounded the city and then they breached the walls on Shiva Asar and then they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av, but it all started on Asar Bateves. The Chorban began on Asar Bateves. And it's all Chorban Beis HaMikdash is rooted in the sin of the Meraglim. And that's what Yosef says to the brothers. Listen, brothers, you know, you're the root of it. Your sin aschinam is the crack which brought about the sin of the Meraglim. So on what day of the year does Yosef say, Maharu va'alu elavi? When did Yosef tell the brothers, you need to shift your focus, the way you think about this world, and you need to recognize that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the universe. You're the cause, you're the root of the cause of the Chet HaMeraglim, Vayimasu b'Eretz Chemda. On Asar Bateves, on the day of the beginning of the Chorban, Yosef, so to speak, sets the record straight, that we need to shift our focus and recognize Eretz Yisrael, Gavoya Mikol Ha'aratzos, as Chassam Sofer explains, that's the center of the universe. It's that type of attitude that will rectify the Chet HaMeraglim, which the brothers were the root cause of. So it's really an amazing revelation, both on the day of Yosef's sale and on the day of Yosef's revelation. And it comes out the tikkun from the Meraglim was, so to speak, ordained by Yosef HaTzadik. He's the one who says, Alu Elavi, on Asar Bateves, you want to reverse the cycle? In other words, Yosef looks at the brothers. They don't know what he's talking about. He says, Meraglim atem! You're responsible for the Chayra Meraglim. You're responsible for all the future Chorbanos. Because of what you did to me, there's a downward cycle of Chorban. There's Tzoyim Ravi, Tzoyim HaChamishi, Tzoyim HaShvi, Tzoyim HaAsiri, but I'm also giving you the rectification. The rectification is, Va'alu Elavi! You got to go up to your father. Meaning, you need to recognize that the center of the universe, how could you say Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Oichelas Yoshveha? No, it's Gavoya Mikol Ho'aratzos. It's taller than Everest, K2, Kangchenjunga, and my whole list over here. Eretz Yisrael is taller than all of these places. And Yosef taught the brothers the tikkun on the day that it all began Lara, and ultimately it will be reversed as well, because Soim HaAsiri, Yia, LeBeis Yehuda, LeSasain, LeSimcha, LeMayadim Toivim. Have a good night, everyone, and an easy fast. Shkoyach. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.